From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Creative problem solving is a valuable skill to have in work and in life. Open Society Institute fellow Jackie Bello is dedicated to that concept. She talks about her program Bet on Baltimore, where she teaches young people to think like designers to solve problems. Then Alex Long, another OSI fellow, talks about his McElderry Youth Redemption Boxing Program, where kids learn to meditate, have fun, and blow off steam. He believes the discipline of boxing teaches much more than physical skill.
It really teaches self-respect, you know, and I say most of us don't respect ourselves. We really don't see who we really can be if we put in the hard work and who we really are.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Creative problem solving is a valuable skill in work and in life. Open Society Institute Community Fellow Jackie Bello considers that one of the most important tools she can offer young people and has dedicated much of her professional life to it. Bello is the co-founder of Dent Education and has been awarded $60,000 over the next 18 months from the Open Society Institute to grow and expand her program Bet on Baltimore. Bello and her partners will hold after-school sessions to teach creative problem-solving to at-risk city youth through design thinking, prototyping, and entrepreneurship. OSI is a nonprofit that focuses on addressing the needs of Baltimore's underserved communities and supporting innovative solutions to longstanding problems. Welcome to On the Record, Jackie.
Thank you for having me, Sheila. I'm so excited to be here.
So what is design thinking?
Design thinking is a humor-centered methodology for spurring creativity and innovation. It's a term that comes from Silicon Valley, but essentially it's an iterative and participatory process for problem solving that puts people first.
Iterative and participatory.
So it means a student going into the field to interview their community members to really understand what a problem is before they even start thinking of solutions. That it begins with empathy and really understanding your user or community or client.
Okay, that's the empathy part, that's the people part. The iterative part.
The iterative means teaching students that it doesn't just end when you pitch or create a business model. It's that once you take your prototype, you know, your first stab at a draft of a solution, whether that's a product or a service, you take it out and you get feedback and you continue to pivot and learn from your users of whether your solution actually works, that this isn't a static process.
Why did you start Dent Education?
I fell in love with Baltimore as a Teach for America teacher. I first came here in 2009, and my classroom experience taught me the incredible possibility of students if they're told I can instead of I can't. If they're viewed and treated as future leaders and entrepreneurs instead of as thugs. And so I wanted to start a program that would empower students to see themselves as future change agents, that they are our Bet on Baltimore. And that's the name of our flagship program.
Make a Dent.
Dent Education. We are inspired by Steve Jobs' quote of how others can make a dent in the universe. And we want students to feel that creative confidence.
So how will your after-school program work?
Yes. So it starts with actually our flagship program is a summer internship. And then the follow-on after-school program teaches students how to take their idea forward. So, for example, one of our students, Taz, has created a youth mentoring program called Youth Lead Youth.
And called Youth Lead Youth.
Youth Lead Youth. And he pitched it in August to Under Armour. He got them excited. And now it's say, great, that wasn't just a presentation. How do you actually continue to prototype that idea? How do you get students who want to volunteer as the mentors? Who are the students that you're trying to serve? And what is the format and structure of this youth mentoring program?
And so that's unfolding now?
Yes.
Those questions are getting answered?
Yes. I meet with Taz weekly.
So the after-school program, what locations will it be?
Yes, we're with Green Street Academy students at one site, and we take them down to the Foundry, which is an incredible makerspace in Port Covington, where they can work on their ideas and prototype their products or services. We do another program at Marie G. Faring in Brooklyn. So those are our two sites right now. And then we're hoping to grow our program from one site over the summer to four sites next summer.
How many kids?
40.
It's sort of split among, right now, 20 at each location?
Well, so this past summer, we ran the Bet on Baltimore program with 8 students from Green Street Academy. And we actually really believe in depth over breadth of impact. So we start with small cohorts because we think curriculum falls flat when you don't build that trust and social-emotional bond with a group of students and amongst themselves. And so we keep our cohort small to under 12 students, and they become each other's board of directors as they work on these ideas and try to turn them into realities.
You mentioned, though, curriculum. What is the curriculum?
Yes, there's 3 pieces. Design thinking, which is teaching students how to empathize with the user's needs, define the need, leverage design thinking to come up with a creative solution, prototype that solution, and then continue to test and iterate. Those are the 5 stages of design thinking. And we do that in a project-based experiential learning kind of way. We also, thanks to partnerships at the Foundry and OpenWorks, teach students making, because we want them to see if their idea is a product, how to actually build that product. Because we think when you learn how to take an idea and make it physical, that's a very transformational process.
So how much of what you're doing leads to an activity like Youth Lead Youth, and how much leads to some kind of physical product?
It's about 50-50 right now, and we're trying to figure out how to best direct and coach students because we want to tap into whatever their passion is. There's this great research from Stephanie DeLuca at Hopkins and over a 10-year study with youth that the students who are on track are those who found an identity project or passion. And so we basically react to what students want to do in the program. So for example, for some of the actual products, 2 of our students love animal care, and they decided to create a dog house, but a dog house for the 21st century. So it has an adjustable dog tray and a removable roof, so it's easier for cleaning. Another student really loved vanity mirrors, but thought they weren't really priced in an affordable way. So she decided to create her own vanity mirror that she has sold to friends. And she called her company Just a Mirror because in the end, you are the beautiful one and this is just a mirror.
How old are these kids?
High school students. So they range in age from 9th to 12th grade.
And how do they get into the program?
Green Street Academy was our first partner because their co-founder, Larry Rivets, had a vision for a program that would combine entrepreneurship and making. And so we partnered with him to create the summer experience of Bet on Baltimore. Next summer, we're hoping to partner with 2 more schools, one in East Baltimore and one in South Baltimore.
That's Open Society Institute fellow Jackie Bello here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about her project, Bet on Baltimore. Bello also was named one of Baltimore's outstanding teachers of the year in 2010 when she taught at Northwestern High School. I'm asking this question particularly because of the amount of energy that you clearly interject into everything you do, which raises to my mind the question, is what you're doing replicable? Can it only happen if someone is injecting huge amounts of energy, if the leader is putting this kind of energy into it?
I've worked with a number of incredible teachers and educators, and everybody has their own style. Enthusiasm and energy is mine, but there are many ways to cultivate relationships with students. And so I look for adults who know how to build a relationship with students, who have high expectations for their students, and who learn over time to how to put students in the driver's seat of their own education by empowering them to be the leaders.
Why do you think this style of education works with young people?
I think it believes the best in them, and it creates a vehicle for change within them. Instead of a teacher being the one at the front of the classroom who tells students what to do, what to copy down, what to memorize, what to regurgitate, it gives them a framework that they can then step into the driver's seat and take that project wherever they want to go.
What do you hope students will come away with from participating in DANT education?
There are 8 leadership traits that we're targeting, in particular, creative confidence, that mindset that students believe that they can make a dent in the universe. Also, the communication to be able to share their vision with the world, the collaboration skills necessary to work with others, the empathy to really be able to understand their user and to put their needs first, the zest that it takes to sometimes overcome failure as a part of this learning journey, and the curiosity to always push yourself to learn more.
It's a long list.
It's a long list. It's a laundry list. I got to get better at that.
How will you measure if you're successful?
We are partnering with Hopkins for this summer to create an evaluation measure. Right now, we have student self-assessments as well as the coach's observational data along those 8 leadership traits. Long term, I want to know that my students have agency, that they feel like they are in control of their life and that they have opportunity and choice in their decisions, whether it's whatever career they want to pursue or the life they want to lead.
In your OSI profile, you state, quote, "I believe education is the most important civil rights issue of our time," end quote. Expand on that. What does that mean to you?
I think education is a game changer. I think education is the only way we can deliver on the American dream, that if you learn and get the right skills and knowledge, that you can become anything that you want to be, that you can break the cycle of poverty and start your own business. I want more entrepreneurs of color in Baltimore City.
I wish you luck with this.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
Open Society Institute fellow Jackie Bello describing her project Bet on Baltimore. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, you can find links to interviews with other OSI community fellows. And one is coming up right after a short break on the record on WYPR. We'll meet an OSI fellow who uses the discipline of boxing to teach young people self-respect. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us for that.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.